how we relate or communicate with our fellow brothers and sisters. Hatred is a feeling, love is a feeling. Let's hate all that does not allow us to love. And we can do that just by getting to know each other and talking to the people. Who can you turn to tell your troubles? Tell them to. You can't go around wondering what it is you gotta do. You gotta be ready and willing to make a move. Nobody can push you if you don't wanna move. You suffer, cry, and hate, and live the American way. Fly the hateful skies of America. Fly the American way. Gotta talk to the people.
Yeah,
yeah.
There he is.
Talk to the people.
Yes, sir. Talk to him. Tell him how you feel. You know. Good morning, everybody. Good morning, Chip. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
It's gonna be a hot Friday out there. You folks, take care of yourselves.
That's right.
Watch out.
Stay hydrated.
Stay hydrated. And then, and that'll mean going out there and guzzling down a 40, you know what I mean? So, and watch out for these old folks, you know, because, you know, they can't get around. And
yeah, check up on your people.
Yeah, check up on your folks, because it's, that heat can be deadly, okay? So, and of course, pets, you know, keep your pets, you know, as cool as you can reasonably keep them.
Keep them indoors.
Keep them indoors. Well, they do this for some people without air conditioning. That could be a chore too. And you know, the main thing is, folks, just be realistic. It is hot. It's going to be hot. And, you know, Mother Nature can be very unforgiving. So be prepared. All right? Be prepared. All right. Good morning, guys. How's everybody doing?
Hanging in there. Hanging in there.
Great. So far.
All right. So far. Okay. Listen, today on Community Watch and Comment, we got a, you know, a lot to... yeah, exactly. A lot to press through. As we do, we open our phone lines so that you can comment on the various issues, the various stories that have come across the news in recent days. It's been quite a bit. And so, you know, our number is 202-588-0893. That's to make a comment about the story of your choosing. Okay. Just to go over some of the things that have occurred this this week. Juneteenth celebrations across the country. You know, it was a very, very positive and powerful Juneteenth celebration. Some are still going on.
Mm-hmm.
All across the nation, north, south, east, and west, in many, many communities. It was a great showing of pride and determination.
Yeah.
So, did you get to go to any celebrations, Chip, Don?
Well, you know, I was surprised because they shot off fireworks in our neighborhood at 9:30. I was like, I didn't know fireworks had become a part of Juneteenth.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't know it had become a part at 9:30 at night, but it happened.
It happened.
It kind of scared you there, huh?
Who's shooting up the neighborhood? Oh, that's fireworks.
Yeah, you know. All right. But, yeah, it was. I went to one in Arlington, and It was, like I said, it was very, very gratifying to see the support, an acknowledgement of that day and what it really meant, you know. And so if you participated in something, great, okay? Your face in the place matters. And if you didn't, well, there's always next year. It seems to be catching on, and gloriously so. And we need all the positive reinforcement we can get in our community. So congratulations to all those who organized Juneteenth events this week. And once again, there's still some others that are continuing. So, it's not too late to get out there and participate. All right? Okay. Several stories. One, the Supreme Court just announced in an 8-1 decision. Did you hear that? 8-1. Mm-hmm. 8-1 decision that domestic abusers can be denied firearms, can be denied the purchase of firearms. It was an 8-1 decision. And guess who was the dissenting vote?
He's got a camper, right? Does he have a camper?
Yeah. And he also, said, last week was about bump stocks.
Mm-hmm.
This week it's, well, just domestic abusers shouldn't be denied the right to firearms or to bear arms. So, but the other Supreme Court justices disagreed with him, fortunately.
Right.
And it was an 8-1 decision. A rarity in this day and age. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Maryland governor has pardoned over 175,000 low-level drug convictions this week.
Right.
Put that pen to paper. Said, hey, if you were convicted, you fall into this category.
Right. Simple possession. Yeah.
Okay. Simple possession, things like that. And I'm sure it would expand. But as of right now, at least 175,000 Maryland citizens who were convicted of low-level drug convictions will have those, will be pardoned. And their records expunged.
Right.
A lot of people don't know what that means. These little low-level convictions can keep you out of a very, very good job.
Right. They impact your life. I mean, they put a major obstacle. And especially if you're someone who was busted on, simple possession, and then you're sitting in jail watching the country sell it,
literally.
Yeah.
Okay. And then it applies to educational opportunities as well as job opportunities.
Right.
Some jobs you require clearances that you just won't be able to get with these low level convictions on your record.
Right.
So applaud the Maryland governor for taking that step to do so.
I will need hot tea very shortly. Hot tea.
Okay.
Don, you're going to have to mute yourself, my man.
I muted him.
Oh, okay. Very good. All right. Like I said, kudos for the governor and hope for the many young black men and women and older black men and women, because it doesn't matter how old you are, these convictions can hang over you. There was a Black for Trump's rally in a Detroit church.
Yes.
And, you watch the videos and you say, well, where the black folks? where they at?
Right. I was kind of the other way. I looked at it and I said, wow, there's a lot of black folks at that. I didn't think there'd be that many. But
the 5 or 10 that were there, you know?
Yeah, I was surprised. You know, it was like,
but look, I was surprised that all those white folks came out to Detroit.
To black church, right.
Black church, you know, doing their Trump chants and whatnot.
Right.
So anyhow, yeah, that was a unsuccessful attempt, you know, by the Trump campaign to reach out to black folks.
But they, you know, they're playing the same song. You know, you notice how some of the black pastors, you know, were pushing him toward discussing about economics, keeping black money in the black communities, and he kept flipping to crime, right? which is interesting because, you know, that's all he did in 2016. It's all the Republicans do, you know.
Everybody, exactly.
There was the Republican chairman for Wisconsin was on a talk show this past week, and he was walking back Trump's comments about Milwaukee, you know, calling it a terrible town. And what the chairman says, well, I don't think that's actually what he meant. What he was trying to say is that we've got problems like crime. And when the interviewer said, well, you know, actually, crime is down in Milwaukee. The chairman said, well, cricket. that's not the way people feel, you know. And so it harkened back to the 2016 campaign when Republicans were asked, why is Trump touting crime when crime has been on a downward trend for 30 years? And they're like, well, that's not what the voters feel. So it's about not giving the truth, but playing upon people's fear. And the Republicans are trying that tact again. It's not about what reality is. So what can we make them fearful of so they'll vote for us?
Okay. All part of that playbook.
Yep.
The Surgeon General came up with some surprising statements. He was saying that he's convinced that warning labels ought to be attached to social media platforms that target children. Because of the increased mental health issues, you know, of young, you know, boys and girls who are, you know, averaging 4 hours a day or more, you know, on their phones. And they said that's just a lot, that's just too much exposure to not necessarily good things.
Right.
So he's proposing that warning labels be put out there, you know, acknowledging that, you know, to parents that they got to be careful.
Right.
Got to be vigilant about protecting their children from this soft abuse. Okay. All right. Louisiana passes a law requiring all of its schools, all the schools in the state, from elementary to college and universities, to post the Ten Commandments in all the classes. Whatever, we're church and state.
Right. Well, I mean, isn't this one of the same states that that pulled free lunches from schools? It's like, you know, you want to give them the commandments, but you won't feed them. It's like,
but you won't feed them.
Is that what Jesus said? I don't know. I gotta go back and read the fine print in my Bible, I guess, because I missed that.
it must be a lot of fine print.
It also bodes well. What about the Quran? You know, what about other religions? Why is it just Christianity that gets put into the schools? You know.
You know, I was watching an interview with one of the proponents mm-hmm. of this, you know, bill, and the reporter asked him point blank, well, you know, what about, you know, Muslim children and Jewish children and Hindus and all the other great religions that exist on this planet. And the proponent couldn't say anything.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I mean, he was asked, well, what if your child, what if tomorrow your child went to class and saw, you know, passages of the Quran or any other religion posted all over the classroom? And you know, well, it's not about that. Well, what is it about?
Exactly.
So it's an attempt to indoctrinate children, not to protect children, but to indoctrinate children, you know, on the virtues of Christianity, you know, and that speaks for itself. So, of course, it's going to be appealed, and we'll see how the courts respond to that.
Right.
Okay, it's going to be interesting.
Going to be interesting. I mean, it's interesting that they feel emboldened to do this kind of stuff now.
Yeah,
that there's no hesitation. Oh, I was going to point out, you know, Jewish kids are covered because actually that is from the Old Testament. So that's actually from the Torah. It's not even really from Christianity. You know, we're supposed to be the new covenant, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, once again, it will be appealed. Mm-hmm. But as of right now, that's the law in Louisiana. You know, if you live there, and you know, think about that for just for 1 second. The diversity of people that live in that state. And it's like a slap in the face, you know.
Right.
It's like a slap in the face. And what are you supposed to do about it? Well, you appeal, and of course, you also vote next time that election rolls around. All right. Benjamin Netanyahu complaining that the U.S. is withholding arms, particularly those heavy bombs.
Right.
That they were used to attack Gaza and other municipalities there.
Right. We're not doing enough to help them kill innocent people. We're not.
So now he's complaining that the Biden administration is withholding arms, you know, so they can't prosecute the war. And, you know, all this is happening, you know, he makes these statements in an atmosphere where tens of thousands of Israeli citizens
are protesting
all throughout the country, protesting his government, you know, and it's like their own little Vietnam.
Right.
You know, is taking place there. You know, those tens of thousands of people, they vote. And it's not just going to, you know, it's not confined to one city. It's throughout the entire country.
Right.
These protests are taking place.
Well, you know, I
was just going to say, it's a shame we don't see it here.
Right.
You know, there's not a lot of news footage about these protests, but they exist. They are real. And those people, the Israeli citizens, are mad, upset, disturbed, want to change. So anyhow, he's complaining about us withholding U.S. weapons.
Yeah, I mean, the thing that's hard to understand is, you know, how much of this is Netanyahu trying to hold on to power? Because, you know, they were ready to kick him out before this war, you know. The only thing that seems to be holding him in place is this war, you know, the electorate were ready to boot him out, you know, with the stuff they tried to do with the cutting down the judicial system, but it was this war that held him in place. You know, there's a lot of Trumpism in the way Netanyahu deals with policy. You know, what's in my benefit?
Interest, exactly. Well, we'll see if the Israeli people have their say. You know, but like I say, you look at the videos of these protests, and it ain't like 5 or 10 people like you see at a Trump rally. These are tens of thousands, you know, of Israeli citizens who are expressing their outrage at how this whole thing is taking place. All right, Monday marks the 2nd anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. It seems like it was longer ago than that, doesn't it?
I know.
You know, but Monday is the 2nd anniversary of the overturning of Roe v. Wade. And the Democrats have launched a new initiative to take over, to affect these state houses. They want this abortion issue taken up in these state houses of government, because that's where a lot of these policies emanate from. A lot of power emanates from these state legislatures, and a lot of them are controlled by Republicans. So the only way to change them is to change them. You know, you got to outvote the people that are in there. And so they're going to rally around this issue, hoping that they can overcome the large Republican majorities in many, many state houses. That's how Louisiana,
right,
you know, was able to, you know, pass this law. You know, that's how Florida is able to do what it's doing, you know, and many other states. So state power, folks, pay attention to it.
Okay? Yeah, and pay attention to the gerrymandering. I mean, that's how they're able to create these districts that guarantee them power, you know?
Gee. All right. So these are just some of the stories that are making the news. You may have one of your own. Give us a call, 202-588-0893, and share the story that you'd like to make a comment about this morning on WPFW's Community Watch and comment. All right. I think we got some callers on deck, so let's go ahead right to it. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program.
Good morning, Ron, Chip.
Hey,
and
Rick.
I don't hear Don.
He's here.
How you doing,
Don?
I'm doing
good
great.
To be in the land of the living, brother. First, let me say I am a survivor of MK Ultra there in Washington, D.C., even though I'm calling you from Germany. 6 cops, federal, 3 federal, and 3 MPD ran an unofficial operation against my mother and myself, our family. And thanks to soldiers, grade school teachers, and nurses, I survived provocation, assault, sexual assault, so forth and so on. But these school shootings, mass shootings, they're not just happening because a child or a young adult gets upset. There's social, sexual, and psychological manipulation. And I believe these mass shootings are going to continue for some time. I don't know what we can do about it, but that's my story.
Thank you, Rick.
We could be tied into the story about what the Surgeon General is seeing, mm-hmm. why he wants warning labels, you know, at minimal, to warn parents, you know, and children old enough to understand that, you know, this material is manipulative,
right?
You know, that they're getting exposed to, and they don't know the difference, you know. So,
it's also tied up in, you know, America's love of guns. I mean, you know, you talk about this all the time, that we've changed from a policy when I was a kid that guns were purchased for sport, you know. You know,
but you had flintlocks when you were a kid.
Yeah, we did. But now people purchase guns for defense. So they've already crossed that hurdle of shooting other people. And it also sends a signal to kids and people that are on the edge of reason that Americans believe that guns are a solution for a problem. So if you have a problem, you know, with somebody at school or at work, you know, one of the tools that America says you can use is a gun, you know? That's what our society tells them.
And there are plenty available.
Plenty.
202-588.
One and a half for every American citizen.
And growing. Good morning, caller. You're on WPFW. What story would you like to comment on today?
Well, I'd like to comment actually about remark that one of the callers made probably at the beginning of your last fund drive, and it concerned a way for the community to address the issue of black boys and girls getting killed at very young ages. And that was, the caller said, everyone should get a $1 million policy on their children.
Mm-hmm.
I agree 100%. And it's absolutely true that within the African American community, we put a very small value on the life of people in our family, so that when we pass away, the most that is left is a $50,000, $100,000 policy. And so when police or authorities kill an African child, there's no value attached to that. Now, I wanted to mention that because the D.C. Library is setting up a series of financial workshops that can help people understand and actually interact on the tools and techniques to build generational wealth and to make sure that families are well covered. So I wanted to just sort of let people know that this Monday coming at the Francis Gregory Library in Southeast, there will be the first of a series of summer workshops, and they will start at 6 p.m. this Monday. And the contact person there at the library would be Neil Bailey, and his phone number is 202-698-6373.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I'm going to assume that, you know, the people who are interested in taking this workshop, just contact the library, that particular library. Is that, because I assume that this is the only library that this workshop is going to take place?
At the moment, it is the only library doing the workshops, but we are going to try to expand it to other locations in the coming year. But right now, we do have the confirmed location, Francis Gregory Library on Alabama Avenue, Southeast. And I look forward to seeing people come out.
All right. Okay. Interesting proposition. Thank you very much for the information.
My
Alabama
pleasure.
Alabama Avenue. That's my old neck of the woods. Yes, sir. Went to Garfield Elementary. Yeah. Kramer and Hart, you know. All right. 202-580-0893. What story would you like to comment on this morning? There's plenty to talk about. Were you surprised that the Maryland governor pardoning those 175,000 low-level drug convictions? Okay. Should more be done? Should the federal government have such a policy? 202-580-0893.
Yeah, federal government probably won't do anything like that.
But not in an election year, huh?
Well, no, it's just that when you get to the federal drug enforcement, you know, they're not busting low-level possession. They're busting traffickers, which opens up a whole different section, because it means going across state lines. It means banking. There are all these adjunct problems with trying to give somebody a pardon for drug, because it's not just a simple drug if it's on a federal level. But I think most states should adopt this for simple possessions, simple, you know, drug possessions. That there's no need to cram our judicial system, our penal system with these people, especially considering now we have moved so far past, you know.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah,
it's like, it's ridiculous.
That rabbit is out the hat, you know.
Right.
So. I mean, it's legal in practically every state now, so let's catch up with the times.
Right.
202-588-0893. You're in tune to 89.3 FM, WPFW, Washington. The program is Community Watch and Comment, where we take your calls about, you know, taking accepting your comments about the issues of the day. So we're going to get back to those phones. Time now is 11:30. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the program. What story did would you like to comment on this day?
Strong comment. Good morning, Don. Good morning, Chip. And good morning, Ron.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Morning. Good morning. Yeah, hot today, so everybody stay hydrated. Definitely look out for them older people, especially all the vaccinated. Not trying to be weird, but yeah, man, it does stuff. Stay hydrated. Strong comment. Let's first get with my own personal thing with the guns. I do agree with the other caller, and I've heard multiple callers talk about life insurance policies. That's what Brother Malcolm was about. That's what Tulsa is all about. Gotta get. That's what I think NAS is all about too, if I'm not mistaken. But you gotta build the income, the financial wealth. Because otherwise there's no incentive, and that's the horrible thing about capitalism. But I'm more Krishnamurti. I don't think you can make solutions within that system, but however, something's better than nothing, don't get me wrong. So, but gun violence, obviously, they should not be allowed to have anybody who's committed any. There should be certain people who obviously don't own guns. Obviously, I don't even think people need guns beyond a shotgun and a rifle. If you need a handgun or anything like that, there's only one reason that's made. And again, we've had this conversation about the difference between tools and weapons.
That's right. I remember that conversation.
So I think all that's important. I was abused sexually when I was 8 years old. Handgun made that possible. Doesn't matter who it was. Doesn't matter why. It's a systematic thing. It is a systematic thing. I don't blame that person. I forgave them. Never held an evil bone in my body against them, even though they sexually abused me at gunpoint. I understand, especially in hindsight, because I'm educated. And I think critical race theory would help with a lot of that stuff. Beyond that, though, at 12 years old, I was arrested at gunpoint, handcuffed at gunpoint, the gun pressured in between my neck vertebrae by an adult white officer who called me a skinhead because of the first time I got my haircut. I don't know how he knew me, but did he know my friend was Jewish that he was arresting next to me?
Of course not.
White cop arresting a white kid. So I'm just saying, I don't know what value my life had at that point, but I certainly wonder sometimes this day, if I was a black kid, would I have been, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And well, those police officers should not be allowed to have weapons. Certain people should not be allowed to have weapons. Anything can be a weapon, but they shouldn't be given. And on that point, I hate to compare this, but the way people drive in Montgomery County after I got back from out of the military in 2011, I'm sorry. I hate to make that comparison, but these cars are deadly weapons as well. And people and these cell phones, it's getting out of hand. Talking about the value on human life. I think we all need to not be hypocrites in that sense. Anyways, that's my piece, gentlemen. I'm going to listen for other callers. I really love your show, guys. I got to donate to you but I support the other station. I'm going to get around to y'all, though, too.
Come on, man. Come on.
One love.
Okay.
I'm going to join the pool. I'll go dipping.
Jump in the pool. The water's fine. Jump in the pool.
It is. Especially on a day like today, right?
That's right.
But thank you for your comments. Thank you for your comments. 202-588-0893. Community watching comment.
You know, it's interesting when you talk about police with guns. You know, it's there are a lot of countries. You know, I mean, like England, we know where the average officer doesn't have a weapon, and the reason they can get away with that is because the country at large. You know, the fight here is that, well, if the police don't have weapons, the criminals will have weapons, and they'll be outmanned. But you know, in England, criminals by and large do not have weapons, and so the police do not have weapons. So it's an escalation. I mean, cops will tell you now, their problem now is that, you know, criminals have automatic weapons. They have armor-piercing shells. So it's this constant ratcheting up on both sides, when what we really need to do is bring the wall down on both sides of that equation. It makes it safer for the public at large.
But, and let's be brutally honest about police and guns. You know, too many citizens, you know, are being killed by out of control police, you know. And, you know, that it was a immunity issue.
Right.
You know, giving cops immunity for doing bad things.
Right. There's a whole bunch of stuff in that mix, because, you know, I don't want to say that all cops that shoot somebody are bad. I mean,
no.
I'm sure there's a bunch of them that make reactions just the same we would. They feel fear. You know, they know that there are criminals out there with guns. If we remove that as a possibility, if every cop wasn't approaching a car with the idea that this person could easily have a weapon and kill me, then we de-escalate that situation. But by constantly throwing guns into the society, you know, we make cops, you know, treat the average person as an adversary.
Exactly. I mean, it doesn't matter, you know, except in one regard. When it comes to black citizens, you know, in these law enforcement situations are always the ones that police assume. I mean, young black children, you know, are handcuffed and, you know, abused by police because they see them as a threat, you know, like they're Superman or something, you know. And have you seen the average police wear now? It's like they're in, you know,
Fallujah. Exactly.
Yeah.
I always think it's funny when a cop says, well, we handcuffed him for his safety. So it's like, you mean you handcuffed him because once you know that he's incapacitated, you won't just shoot him, is what you're saying. Is that when you say for his safety?
And unfortunately, they still end up getting shot.
Yeah, they do.
So you got a lot of work to do, folks. Got a lot of work to do. 202-580-0893.
When you look at people that have died in police custody, there's always, you know, a handful of people that have died in police custody in a police station that are listed as suicides, but they were handcuffed. And you're like, so somehow they got a gun with handcuffs behind their back, and then they shot themselves? It's like
Houdini.
I know.
More like whodunit, you know.
Let's see.
All right.
JFK magic bullet. You know, it made a turn.
Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Ron, how you doing? It's Marvin for Watson. How you doing, man?
What's up, Marvin?
Hey, man. Happy Friday to you, man.
Thank you.
Yeah, you know, the caller before last, he made some good points, but he also made some very, I'm not going to do any name calling, but you know, you look up. Okay, before I talk about police brutality and how many police killings there have been, you have to look at the history of this country and what this country has been doing in the last 300-400 years, the last 100 years. You know, you're talking about coming out of Europe, Europeans going all over the world, colonized the whole world, okay? The Britons, England, okay, taking Africans from Portugal and Spain, all over the world, and to build all these countries, these nations that was colonized in the Caribbean and Africa, all over the world. And look at back in the slavery boats and Jim Crow, where in the Tulsa riot, that hundreds of black people.
Okay, you're kind of fading out on this one, man. You
all over the back south. On that phone? I'm sorry.
Okay, there you go. You were fading out on us. We couldn't hear what you were saying.
Oh, okay. And you know, in the 20s and 30s, and you know, in the South, you know, I mean, the Tulsa riots, white racist vigilantes, it killed a lot of black people in Florida, and you know, Greenwood, and all over the South, and still are killing. You know, it's 1,247 police killings last year in this country. That's the highest ever been recorded ever. It's been over 1,000 police shootings ever since the early 2000s. Okay, and so you want to talk, and then the United States has over 850 military bases and have and just and still constantly dropping bombs on people all over the African continent, Central America, South America, putting sanctions on over 40 countries right now, Venezuela, Cuba, and all these other. It's just constantly killing people, and you're talking about certain people shouldn't have guns. I'm getting ready to get mine. I'm getting mine in Maryland. First, you know, time I own a gun. You know, I think everybody should. If police can have guns, everybody should have guns. Okay.
All right. That's a commentary on the time.
Thank you, man. Appreciate you.
Yeah. All right. 202-588-0893. You know what the NRA says? If the Jews had had guns, there wouldn't have been no Holocaust. And, you know, that's, you know, not rational, but that's one of their talking points. The good guys, you know, have guns to protect against the bad guys. And but when the bad guys are in uniform, you know, okay. All right, 202-588-0893. You make your own call on that one. Good morning, caller. Welcome to the show. Morning.
Good morning.
Hello?
Yes, you on air.
Yes, good morning. Yes, I want to say thank you to the brother who gave me the shout out. I'm the one that talks about the $1 million life insurance policy for Indigenous Americans. But I wanted to bring something that's the secret war that's coming to a head between the U.S. Corporations and the U.S. Republic. And that's the war that we've seen being put before us in so many different ways. But it hasn't been clear then the right to for people that's trying to exist under common law in the U.S. Republic to exercise their constitutional rights to travel in the United States, as opposed to the U.S. Corporation imposing their privileges on individuals to drive vehicles and automobiles in commerce. So this war has been going on for some time now, but it appears to be coming to a head because they're going to have to make up their mind that either we are going to continue to be governed under the U.S. corporation, or are we going to be governed under the U.S. republic? And that's the question of the day. Thank you.
All right. Thanks for raising it. 202-588-0893. That's the number to call for a community watching comment. Share your comment with our listeners this morning. Get some feedback from our listeners about your comment. Once again, it's 11:44 in the a.m. Your dial is set at 89.3 FM, WPFW, Washington, your station for jazz and justice. The program is Community Watch and Comment with yours truly, Ryan Pinchback, Chip Jones, Don Williams, and more importantly, you, the listener, okay? The listener caller. So we're going to get back to the phones. Good morning and welcome to the program.
Good morning. Is that me?
That is you.
Excellent.
It's you.
Excellent. Listen, the caller before last who was talking about where we live, the United States, I think, I'm of a double edge. In some ways, I think I believe in God, and God is either going to let me live in or not live. But when I read newspapers and I hear that before October 7th, there was peace, and they had 234 people killed in the 2 months before that, but they were Palestinians, yet they say it was peace. It was just started October 7th in Palestine. Or when I see pictures, they're now not going to allow a certain TV station, which showed pictures of Israeli soldiers bombing a house and shooting at a house. No fire coming back out of the house. If they enter the house finally in a heroic thing, and it's a battle, but a battle seems to be between people firing back. And they line the men up, and they kill every military age guy in that house. I think now that my thing about having arms has changed. The United States supports that with my tax dollars. And they talk about in the newspapers, it was just started October 7th, and 234 people in the West Bank and Palestine were killed in the couple months before that in a row. And they have had five, what they call, mowing the grass incidents. Now, if I lived in that thing and I told my kid, be peaceful, God is a God of love, and he's going to take, he is a God of love. If you love yourself and you love him, maybe you should have an arm. So if a group of troops come around you and they actually do it, that you have something to make them think twice about, even if you're not part of Hamas, that you are someone who will defend yourself, because you live in a place where they talk about you if you talk about, why are police stopping me and drawing their weapons and whatever in this country? My view has changed. I now am a gun owner, and I probably always will be, even though I'm kind of old and I can't see that far, so they got to get kind of close to me in order to do it. But I am going to get close enough. I'm going to defend myself, and I'm not going to look for their love and their love of humanity and their love of people, because who they consider people is not me, apparently. And, you know, whatever. I think people need to look at that. So that's my point of view. Thank you.
You
heard. Thanks for sharing it. You know, a lot of people are changing their points of view on, you know whether to arm themselves or not. And arm themselves against who? You know, I mean, if you're talking about, it used to be a time when people would arm themselves, for the occasional burglar, okay, or the occasional mugger. But now it's got, you got people coming from all angles with weapons at you. And, defending yourself has become a necessity, in all communities, you go into an all-white community, and you just happen to be a young man, young black man walking down the street. Somebody comes up and asks you, what you doing here? Well, I know ain't no blacks in this community. What are you doing here? And then they want to get in your face and, be abusive. So, we got some, like I said, we got some work to do. You got some work to do. Chip, Don, your comments about what my man just said. He said, you can't see that good. But if somebody attack him, he going to point at something.
I'm with him. My issue is cataracts right now. Cataracts right now.
I mean, the reality is that that wasn't the days of old that everyone had a gun for the occasional robber and stuff. I mean, this is an escalation that we've gone through where people have gotten guns more and more and more. And like I said, it's a no-win situation. You know, it's like building a wall and they build a catapult to get over that wall. And so then you have to build a wall higher, then they build a bigger catapult. You know, it's an escalation that winds up just killing more and more people.
More and more people.
The way we have to look at this is, how do we de-escalate? How do we do something like Australia, you know, that used to have the same kind of gun problem. And then, you know, in the 80s, they actually did legislation and banned guns that weren't for hunting and stuff like that. You know, they had their own Sandy Hook type of situation, and the government said, you know, no more. We're going to stop this.
And the U.S. says, we have no excuse. We've got plenty of reasons, plenty of rationale to approach things like this. But this so-called Second Amendment, you know, has got people locked into stupid, you know?
Right. Well, it's also a reinterpretation of, you know, the Second Amendment wasn't used for that in the 70s. You know, it was in the 80s where they started to say, well, you know, the Second Amendment allows you to have any kind of gun, you know, for whatever you want. It's like, but that's not what the Second Amendment was intended for, you know. Second Amendment was written in a time where we didn't have a standing army, and that the president would have to call up people as a militia, you know, so they needed to have weapons, you know. There's a whole bunch of discussion about how we view different laws, you know, in different times, you know.
And that is one of them. Good morning, caller. You on WPFW.
Good morning, caller. Hey, good morning. How you doing?
Good. All right. How are you?
Okay, this is Mama Malaya. I'm calling just to say you all always have a wonderful program. And, of course, in this world, there's always so many amazing headlines.
Too many.
Yeah, sometimes too many.
What are your thoughts today?
Well, I'm really pleased with Governor Westmore and what he chose to do. I'm hoping that in that process, and anyone that works in that area, that should be an area to work to make sure folks are employment ready, because if they've had a hard time getting a job, then they have to get reacclimated to that process and whatever it might take to get through those barriers, because that box still exists on a lot of those applications. In addition to that, we need to have a lot of support services for all of those folks, whether they're in jail or out of jail, on probation, because it's going to take a lot to get them to be as viable as we need them to be. And we don't need, you know, a lot of folks who can't get a job, you know, out on the street, because we know that creates a whole nother process. Mm-hmm. And even though marijuana might be legal, my other problem with marijuana is that I don't believe what they're smoking now is safe. And on top of that, there's a lot of young men that can't pass some of these drug tests because they're smoking marijuana. So I know within the metro system, I know a lot of people, they were looking for employees, and they actually, one brother spoke to me, he said, yeah, but the young folks can't pass the drug test because of the marijuana.
Right.
So we've got to encourage that, and we've got to find ways to let them realize it's legal, but what else can you do? How else can you enjoy yourself? You know, what else? And the other last thing I want to say in terms of the violence against us, they say that those quote-unquote criminals have better guns than the police, but I've never seen those folks turn their guns on the police. I haven't heard anybody shoot outs with any of the people who are quote-unquote drug purveyors, quote-unquote gang members, shooting at the police. But I have heard a whole lot about the police getting geared up like the military
and shooting our folks. So within the sound of my voice, if you're old enough, register to vote. And if you're old enough, register and buy a firearm, you know, and the Deacons of Defense. You know, we had a lot of folks that knew how to take care of themselves if they had, you know. Yeah.
Historical.
All right, everybody. Yep. Let's do something positive as much as we can. All right. Peace.
All right. Thank you very much. You know, in regards to this, the moratorium one, I mean, the pardons that the governor issued was also an effort to what they call ban the box. And that's what the caller was just talking about.
Right.
When you apply for a job, also when you apply for housing. Yeah.
For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns with some brief news headlines. The director of a major hospital in North Gaza said today that cases of child malnutrition are swelling due to severe food shortages. He said about 250 children with malnutrition were recently treated at his hospital. He also warned of illnesses spreading in Gaza due to a proliferation of garbage and sewage in the streets. Israeli airstrikes killed 10 people in Gaza today, 5 at a municipal garage and another 5 in strikes on apartments in Gaza City. The Israeli military said today that 2 of its soldiers were killed in central Gaza, while 3 others were severely injured. Armenia joined dozens of other countries today in announcing that it will recognize a Palestinian state. Israel responded by summoning the Armenian ambassador for what it called a, quote, severe reprimand. A statement from Armenia's foreign ministry said it supports a two-state solution to the decades-old Israeli-Palestinian conflict and urged international leaders to focus on the, quote, catastrophic humanitarian situation in Gaza. Just last month, 3 European countries, Spain, Ireland, and Norway, announced they too would recognize a Palestinian state. In domestic news, the U.S. Supreme Court today ruled to keep in place a federal gun control law from 1994 banning firearms for people under domestic restraining orders. The decision reverses a lower court ruling that had struck down the law. The ruling, 8-1, comes a week after the court struck down a Trump-era ban on bump stocks, which are weapon accessories that can turn a semi-automatic weapon into what is effectively a machine gun. Both rulings were important in understanding how far justices will go in protecting gun ownership rights after a landmark decision in 2022 saying gun laws must follow the country's, quote, historical tradition of firearm regulation. Conservative Justice Clarence Thomas, who wrote the 2022 opinion, was the only dissenter in today's ruling. The Supreme Court yesterday upheld a 2017 tax on foreign income in a 7-2 vote, while avoiding ruling on the constitutionality of a not-yet-enacted wealth tax. The law, upheld by the court, imposes a one-time tax on profits earned by foreign subsidiaries of U.S. companies, and is expected to generate $340 billion in revenue. The law was passed by a GOP-led Congress and signed by then-President Trump. The Biden administration argued that striking down the tax provision could threaten other portions of the federal tax code and result in a loss of trillions of dollars in revenue. The group challenging the law likened it to a wealth tax, an idea proposed by some progressive lawmakers, but that is not law. Justices declined to rule on the wealth tax question. And Hawaii has agreed to settle a lawsuit by 13 young climate activists alleging the state was violating their rights under its constitution by operating a transportation system that contributes to greenhouse gas emissions and climate change. The case had been set for trial on Monday. It would have been the second ever trial in the U.S. of a lawsuit by young people who claim their futures and health are jeopardized by climate change and that a state's actions violated their rights. As part of the settlement announced yesterday, Hawaii will develop a roadmap to achieve zero emissions for its ground, sea, and inner island air transportation systems by 2045. It also calls for the creation of a volunteer youth council to advise the state's Department of Transportation, and the creation of a new unit dedicated to decarbonization. Weather in Washington, D.C. right now is 87 degrees and partly cloudy. In New York City, 86 degrees with fair skies. For WPFW in Washington and WBAI New York, I'm Chris Bangert-Drowns. Thanks for listening.